Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You are listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. It's a Saturday night. It's 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. And we are here every Saturday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, barring any technology challenges, 7:30 p.m. on the central side with a great friend of ours. His name is Scott Johnson. This is actually Scott Johnson's radio show. We've done this for a number of years. We have probably, I don't know, a couple of hundred radio shows we've done with Scott. And we have a special guest today. We want to give him all the time that he truly deserves. But if you go back to buildingfortunesradio.com/Scott-Johnson, you'll be able to hear this as well as some previous radio shows that we've done. And I'll keep my introduction very short. I met Scott many years ago after I did a radio show with Roger Van Vlissingen, and Roger's an anti-MLM guy. And I've always believed that MLM done right is really good, and MLM done wrong is just like every other industry. When it's done wrong, it's done wrong and needs to be addressed and certainly, brought out front and probably criticized. So I did a radio show with Roger. Scott called me up. Again, I'm keeping this short. And he said, hey, listen, you guys are not talking about the MLM tools scam. And I said, what's that? And he said, well, it's really the Amway tool scam. And I said, wow. So we started talking about that. We've done a whole bunch of radio shows ever since. Well, Scott and I, like I said, we sometimes do the radio show ourselves. And we have a lot of fans. Like, people just really love some of the shows that we've done. And then we had an online troll. His name is Marco Mukhaber. Marco is easy to spell, M-A-R-C-O. Mukhaber is M-O-U-K-H-A-I-B-E-R. And for some reason, he's got a domain name named after him, MarcoMukhaber.com. And if you scroll down to the bottom of the whole page, you'll see that he tried to be like a musician, but he really sucks at that. He tried to be a comedian, and he really sucks at that. The only thing he's really good at is being sued by network marketing companies. So much so, if you know the backstory, he wound up actually fleeing Canada, his home country, to, we believe, and probably true, Thailand. And somebody made a really cool song. You'll be able to hear this, as many others, on MarcoMukhaber.com. But before Scott gets started with his radio show, I figured we would bring our Building Fortunes radio listening audience a little delight. So here we go.
My name is Marco. I'm feeling so afraid. Flew to Thailand with my microphone. I pray, but customs questioned me, took my flashlight away. Oh, I didn't use it much. Please, can I have it back today? Lost in translation, I tried to explain. It's just a toy, not something causing pain. But they don't understand, they think it's a scene. I'm missing my friend, my little nighttime queen. Oh, customs, please be kind and give it back. Give it back. I'm just a lonely traveler on this foreign track. My flashlight brings me comfort, don't you see? Don't you see? I'm in need of a little intimacy.
So I'll stop it there. But if you go to MarcoMukhaber.com, you'll be able to scroll down on the homepage. And for some reason, somebody was creative enough to make sure that there's some really cool songs about Marco and his lawsuits with Primerica and IM Academy, and who knows who else, probably like Herbalife's coming, Patrick Bet-David's probably going to come after him as well. Who knows what's going to happen? But that's all the attention I want to give to him on this radio show. Scott Johnson, thanks for being here, and thanks for allowing me to be able to find that and show it to you on Building Fortunes Radio.
Peter, that was hilarious. Yeah, thanks for having us again on the show. Yeah, we've been doing this since September of 2015, you know, over 8.5 years. So it's over what, something like 450 shows.
We barely
missed a week. And it's good to see that there's some people out there with musical talent, even though Marco doesn't have any. At least somebody with musical talent can sing about him. So that's good. And just for people to understand, you know, where we're coming from, first of all, you know, I say a lot of things on this show, but I have websites with documentation to back it up. So if people think, you know, I'm making stuff up, what they can do is go to my Facebook page, and I've got 3 website links there. I have a YouTube channel link. I have a Rumble video of Joe Markowitz, who's a really high-level Amway guy, you know, a distributor IBO type person that made a ridiculous 9-minute video recently where he stated twice within the 9-minute video that the only reason, he said, and he used the word, the sole reason that we have tools is to help the new IBO have a successful and, you know, long-term business. What he did not mention is the fact that he makes multiple times more from the tools than he does from Amway. And that's why it's a tool scam, you know, because I don't have any problem with people making money. But if they make it by lying by omission, in other words, they give every impression that all of their worldly success came from Amway, whereas most of it came from the tools, and they don't like to talk about that. I see that as RICO fraud. You know, it's at least business, the business model to someone that you tell you want to get into business with, and you leave out that little factoid, then that's fraud, business fraud, clearly. And so that's number one problem, because you said at the beginning, Peter, you know, both of us like MLM if it's done right. We dislike it if it's done wrong. Well, that's the first big thing in my mind where it's done wrong, is when you're lying by omission that you're making most of your money from the tools versus what you're promoting to everybody, which is Amway. And so that's problem number one. Problem number two, because problem number one, the tool scam is not universal to all MLMs. Not all MLMs have tool scams. But problem number two, it's either universal or nearly universal. I think the jury's still on my mind with the insurance MLMs, because I think they probably do have things, you know, being correctly done. I don't know that either, whether it's correct or not. And that's in the area of retail sales. And when we say retail sales, that's where someone who's not a distributor, someone who's not part of the compensation plan, the MLM compensation plan, is buying the products. That's what a customer is. That's what a retail sale is. If a distributor or an IBO, whatever you know, call the distributors within your MLM, when they buy a product, that's just internal consumption. That's not a retail sale. Because if you're a distributor, you have, like the judge in Burn Lounge stated very succinctly, I thought he did a great job. He said that the distributors have a conjoined opportunity, you know, like conjoined twins, you know, a combined opportunity, if you will. And that is, they have the same opportunity the customer has to buy a product. You know, you buy a product that has value and it's worth it to you. It's a good trade-off of money versus the product or service that they're purchasing. But then if you're a distributor, you have a second opportunity. And that is, and I'll use my one-line description of the MLMs and how most of them are promoted, is if you work hard enough and long enough, you'll get filthy rich. That's really, if you boil it all down, that's the pitch that MLMs provide. And so customers obviously do not have that incentive, but distributors do, because they're being told that all the time. If you work hard enough and long enough, you'll get filthy rich. So that's why I, as a former Amway distributor, IBO, bought the overpriced products. I held my nose and said, well, you know, my upline is telling me this is how I got to where I got. If you want to get to where I got, you have to do what I did. And these are the things I did. I bought the products, I bought the tools, and here I am. And so, you know, that's why distributors are willing to overpay for products. And obviously customers aren't, because they do not have that incentive, you know, to make money. They're just a customer. Just like if you go to a store, whether it's a physical brick and mortar or online store, You know, you don't expect to get rich. You just expect to trade your money for the product or service that's being offered. So, so that's the other big problem, because in most MLMs, the products are overpriced, and it's very difficult to sell the products to customers. You know, the distributors buy them because they're told, well, you got to be loyal, you got to check out the products so that you can talk about them and promote them to others, you know, all these things. And some of these things are actually legitimate reasons to buy the products. You know, how can you promote a product and support it to someone that you either want to become a distributor or a customer if you've never tried it? You know, because one of the common questions is, well, what do you think about the products? And if you come back with, well, I never use them, then you probably won't get very far. So, you know, there are some real good reasons to buy the products, and that's one of them. But the bottom line is, I believe in most MLMs, there's very little retail sales, and that's the exact definition of an illegal pyramid, when you don't have adequate retail sales. So that's the two problems. Lack of retail sales equals illegal pyramid, and tool scams like in Amway and Herbalife, there's a few others probably, where they're making a boatload of money and not admitting to it. That's, in my mind, is legal fraud. Now, I'm not a lawyer, but it's at least business fraud. You know, when you misrepresent the business model to somebody, you know, that's obviously business fraud. So that's for the new listeners. We like to introduce the audience to where we're coming from, you know, why we support MLM, like when it's being done right, and when we criticize MLM when it's being done wrong. And that's what we mean by doing it right and wrong, is those two things. Now, that doesn't mean those are the only two problems in MLMs, but no business, whether it's an MLM or not, is perfect, because it's made up of people, and, you know, people are not perfect, and so there's no perfect business out there. But all we're trying to do is identify the two big rocks, so to speak, the two big problems, because you could fix every other little problem and get almost nowhere if you don't fix these two things, or at least one of them, if only one of them is present in a particular MLM. So that's why we talk about these two things, is because they are the two biggest problems, and if they're not fixed, and everything else is fixed, you really won't make much progress. So anyway, I'll stop there, because we do have a great guest. I have spent some time on the telephone with him a few days ago, and he has some tremendous experiences in MLM and in other areas as well. And I wanted to introduce him to you and welcome him to the show. And his name is Andrew Charles. Is it Avanch or Avanch? Avanch, okay. Yes. I just wanted to welcome you to the show, Andrew. And if you can kind of just start out with telling us, you know, a little bit about yourself, you know, what you were doing, you know, before you were approached by Amway, and you know, whatever part of your own personal story you would like to present, so that people can kind of understand where you're coming from as we progress through this show. So go right ahead and take it and run with it, and feel free to get into any area you want to. Go right ahead.
All right. So I'll give a little intro on kind of who I am and where I came from, and then how I arrived at the first MLM opportunity that I looked at, and then kind of, you know, how do we fall into the trap, or how I fell into the trap, and then, you know, some of the things that I learned and how to find our way out if we are caught in a deception. And then, you know, and then more recently, I've been working with whistleblowers and truthers on getting truth to the surface. So obviously, in this conversation, we're trying to dig into, you know, a opportunity and figure out, well, wait a minute, is this something that is worthy of somebody's time and effort, or is it something that's going to lead to waste of time, or even, you know, we only have one reputation. And so, you know, if we're trying to represent something to our friends or family members, or even a new prospective business partner or client, you know, we only get one name and one opportunity to make our name for ourselves. So, you know, we get many chances to start over. But going back to, you know, quick background, grew up in Michigan, in the suburbs. Both sides of my family worked in the auto industry. One grandpa was white collar at General Motors, worked from the mailroom all the way up, and 42 and a half years later, retired as national sales manager. My other grandfather worked at Chrysler. He was an immigrant and learned to speak English and worked in the Chrysler factory for 35 years, eventually piston line supervisor. So, you know, those days of a long-term career seem to fade away as I'm growing up. And so I grew up in the 90s, and my dad worked at General Motors for 22 and a half years. And then they bought out his contract, which, you know, for a little kid, it's like, wait a minute, what are we doing as a family? So I was the type of kid in school that I was smart enough to, if you gave me a multiple choice test, I could guess. So that made it that I realized I needed to study less and less. And, you know, maybe a doctor were to say that I had ADD, and it's like, well, you know, there were some things going on in my life growing up as a kid. Is, you know, something evil happened to me growing up as a kid, and I didn't understand how to articulate to an adult that, hey, something happened. You know, and then in America, the diet that is offered, you know, has way too much sugar in there. So trying to sit still in school and focus, you know, there were some things going on. But I was definitely smart enough to be able to figure things out, and I kind of, I feel like I beat life at its own game, in the sense I feel like I was part of the last generation that when somebody bounced a ball outside, we'd go out and play rather than stay in the house. You know, but so, you know, I'm going through school. You know, I graduated high school with a 2.02 GPA, and you know, I'll come back to that later. I got the most out of life without the least amount of effort. But, you know, about when I was 18 years old, I go to a engineering dinner that was open to people that were in the automotive industry and students. So I got introduced as a student, and these dinners that they'd have on a monthly basis in Detroit, some brand new car would come out, like the at the time, I think it was the C6 Corvette or the C5. And then all the engineers would talk about it. Like, you'd come out in the lobby, there'd be a car there. You could walk around it, you know, have a beverage or two, go into the dining room, and there might be 500 people there to hear the engineers talk about different aspects of building that car. And so, you know, then they did the Viper, and I thought that was awesome, and some other vehicles. And so I'm at these dinners, and one of them, a guy sits across the table, and everybody's trading business cards, and his was talking about, you know, like time and talent and travel and opportunity. And you know, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, wait a minute, like, this is one of those guys. And I'd come across somebody that sat down with me. He had a basically a printout, and he talked about some business ideas. But he's like, oh, it's $200 to get started. Well, you know, I'm a high school senior or a college freshman at that time, and I, you know, it's like $200 was a lot of money at that time, and it, you know, cutting grass was $20 a pop, so that might take me a few weeks to save up that kind of money. So, it, you know, I meet this guy at the engineering dinner, and then I'm like, hey, yeah, let's talk. And you know, he's new in the business, and we have a good conversation. I'm ready to go. And then I got introduced to his upline. And at that time, so with the Amway business, I registered as an IBO, and the line of affiliation was Markerman Productions, which is Jody Victor was the crown ambassador at that line of sponsorship. So, you know, immediately get, you know, like at that time I didn't have a whole lot of money to get started with products, but my friend's like, hey, let's go and make a names list and go talk to a few people. So we talked to the one kid that lived behind me, and, you know, nothing came out of that. And we talked to a few others, but then I got started invited to go into the monthly meetings and the conferences. And, you know, to be around people that had some more life experience than I had, you know, like, unfortunately, my dad, you know, he was successful at what he did, but it didn't translate to me having success or being able to gain any more wisdom from him. So, you know, at least I'm seeing, hey, wait a minute, these people want to mentor me and help me to learn some things that would be beyond what I can learn on my own. So, you know, started going to conferences and started going to different events, and so got going, but at the same time, you know, not able to really get any product sales going. You talked about the Amway products, and it's, you know, even in basic math, I'm thinking, you know, these products are not necessarily marketable. They, you know, I tried some of the products, and some of them are fantastic. You know, I'll come back to a story about the multi-mineral, multivitamin, but later on, I got, you know, a way that I found that it, you know, basically a physical fitness test, I could prove that it was actually working for me. But, you know, so I have these experiences, I'm getting going, and pretty quick, I was able to meet, I remember it was 1999, and I was introduced to Jody Victor. He lived in Ohio, and so every once in a while, he would actually show the plan at an open meeting, and so my upline said, hey, let's drive down to Ohio, and I was happy to hop in a car and go anywhere. I didn't care. You know, I was like, I'm you know, I very much enjoyed the conversations that we'd have. And then obviously those conversations would keep them alert while we're doing long road trips. But, so we go and see him speak. At that time, I was racing, model, electric 1/10 scale, cars, like all wheel drive sedans. And so, in a very competitive league, and I had a car that once I got going in this business, I'm like, well, I got it all stickered up for the launch that they were about to do. And it, at that time, it was countdown911999.com or something. So so I show it, you know, I had it all painted up like Marker Man Productions, like their flags and everything, and I got to show it to Jody Victor and his two sons, and they're like, oh, that's really cool. We're out in the parking lot after an open meeting. He's like, oh, that's really neat. So, but in any case, you know, I was given opportunity. I mean, this is a Crown Ambassador, and most people don't realize that he's the only IBO that has an office at the headquarters. So there's something special about that relation and how the company was founded and how, you know, possibly his father was the first of the 11 IBOs or whatnot that started. So right away, I'm meeting, you know, within 6 months to a year, I'm meeting one of the top IBOs. And, you know, like the guy was friendly. He was down the earth enough to be personable with people. But one thing about that is, and I see something that was repetitive, some of the people that are successful, they're so smooth in how they talk that they're not duplicatable. So, you know, when somebody becomes a one of a kind, well, how are you going to build a business out of something that's completely, you know, a personality that's not duplicatable? You know, so, you know, as I continue to try to share products, you know, and then share the opportunity, I can remember trying to catch lunch during a day job, you know, or work that I was doing at a car dealership. I talked to one of my coworkers. I'm like, hey, do you want to go to lunch and have an opportunity meeting? I'm working on something. And she agreed. And so I made the worst mistake. Trying to eat a salad while trying to share an opportunity with somebody is not the best idea. But you know, I had example after example of the business wasn't telling, you know, or life wasn't telling me no. It was more like telling me hell no. So I would keep trying, you know. But at the same time, like reading Robert Kiyosaki's book, Rich Dad Poor Dad, and then he also had the Cash Flow Quadrants. I found those to be helpful. And And he had a lot of success because it got picked up by the multi-level marketing businesses. And so, I'm not saying anything about him, bad about him. It's just everything that we do in life, I think we should take a little bit of a grain of salt. But like one of the things that he sold that wasn't an Amway tool, but was the cash flow game. And it was $100 and I got to play it for free at a friend's house, but it was actually a board game. And to learn how a balance sheet works and actually get a little bit of financial education. So that was good. So there was that experience. Fast forward, my upline, the highest level he could get was to like 12%, and he started having a fallout with the platinum. And, this guy had a trunk load full of tools. And so being that I was struggling to, kind of make ends meet, any tools that he was done with, he would kind of cascade down to me and be like, hey, take whatever you want. So I remember listening to a lot of the different audios available. The ones that really got me were some that were musical. And I'm trying to, like Diamond Rap Cities was one of them, and I'm trying to remember the other one. But when they would put the stage stories, like a 4-minute of their most inspirational or even tear-jerking stories to tape, it really kind of, I kept clinging on to these messages. It seemed that later on that the producers of these audios were getting in big trouble because they didn't have copyright approval for those audios. There were times that I tried to sign up for the standing order on the book or on the tape, and there is a distinct difference. Most people don't realize that there's the corporation that makes the product, and then there's the network or the stream of support materials. So as I'm being critical, I have a small amount of criticism for the Amway business. The support materials, the fact that it is a almost industry secret of how much money people can make off of those tools, and if that tool money ends up being more than their income from the business. Now, when there's the disclaimer, and so many times in life we'll just fast forward through any kind of disclaimer that's thrown at us. But on the cassette tapes, I can remember, always a disclaimer at the beginning. On the CDs, there was always a disclaimer at the beginning. So it's like, well, wait a minute, what are they really trying to tell us? They're actually disclosing to us that they may be earning income outside of, so they may have a typical business. They may have their multi-level marketing business, and then, it's like ding, 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 see the tool business. But so that, run with the MMP, as the upline was having a falling out, then he looked to join a different organization that was growing with more energy. And so he resigned his business, had to sit out for 6 months, and then everybody that was in line down, if we wanted to shift over, we actually sat out for 2 years and then waited for the next opportunity. So the next group that we join up with is with Jaeger Enterprises, and had Scott Michaels as a double diamond between us and Jaeger, Dexter Jaeger. And so we get going in that organization. And so, again, attending these conferences, and I barely could afford going to these conferences, partly the fact that I could carpool two of them, the fact that they were paying for gas, the fact that I might be able to sleep on a floor in a hotel. So my experience in the business was subsidized beyond what most people have an opportunity to. And then wildly enough, being that my friend is well connected with the upline, at a certain point he starts serving backstage in different capacities with hospitality. I can remember one time, I was invited to, somebody said, come down backstage real quick. And so, you know, I always tried to dress real sharp. And so I got called down backstage and somebody flipped me keys to a brand new Cadillac sedan. And they said, okay, well, we have somebody that needs to go to a hotel real quick. You'll drive them. I was like, all right. So then, you know, and I'm, you know, not a high pin. I'm like on a good day, 3%. So somebody flips me these keys and I'm waiting around the back. And, you know, the person that they have come and get in the car is Bertie Yeager, so a Crown ambassador. And I, you know, and we didn't have really any conversation. I was kind of more in shock, you know, and it's like, okay, so I was polite enough to, you know, drive and drop her off at the hotel and then bring the car back. And, you know, it's like, you know, for me to be trusted with that car, I'm like, gee whiz, you know, it's like how many hours would I have to work if I put a scratch in that thing to try to fix it up? But, you know, so my experience was very non-typical of what somebody has in the business, because I think a lot of people would have written me off because I wasn't producing. And for some reason, because I was fun to hang around, they kind of kept me around. You know, I guess it helped to have a second driver on these long trips that we go for the conferences. We go, there's one more story that I wanted to share about Dexter Yeager. So at this time, I think I was about 20 years old. And my girlfriend, who became my fiance, you know, so got tipped off that Dexter Yeager was speaking at a local meeting. And so my friends and I, we carpooled there. And then afterwards, we got tipped off that he would be at the airport. And it's a little Akron, Canton airport. And so he... we're waiting outside in the cold. He had a Lockheed Jetstar II, and it's a special plane, a very fast plane that had four engines. And for a private jet to have four engines, pretty extraordinary. And Bertie's already on the plane. We're standing out on the tarmac in the cold, and, you know, it's nighttime, and, you know, we're there probably about 5 or 10 minutes early. So then we're cold, so we go back inside. Dexter and a couple of people that were with him start coming through the airport terminal, and just a little one of those one-room private terminals for like an FBO. And so Dexter stops at us, and I put out my hand to shake his hand, and, you know, didn't say anything extraordinary to me, but then to meet him and how humble he was. And then he looks at my girlfriend, and he just takes his finger and touches her on the nose and says, oh, you're cold. And, you know, it just, like, has just, like, a cute little moment and kind of goes on his way, hops on his private jet, and he's off to North Carolina. So are you able to follow along? Are you still with me?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right.
I just wanted to make a comment because you mentioned you know, you made $20 in Michigan for cutting lawns. When I grew up in the probably the 70s time frame when I was mowing lawns in Florida, it was $3. So you made a
right?
lot of money. But, of course,
well,
in Michigan, the grass doesn't grow almost year-round like it does in Florida.
Right?
So it's
yeah,
a trade-off.
You got to shovel snow in the winter, and that's twice as hard. So mowing lawns is pretty easy, you know, and especially when I was subsidized by the fact that I had a capital investment from my dad that he bought the lawnmower. So I actually started out at $11 an hour. So I worked my way. It took me, I think, about 7 years to work my way up from $11 an hour or $11 a yard to 20. But okay. So I'm going to come back to where I was talking about Dexter. So one of the things that is interesting is he actually would talk about how he had cufflinks from five different presidents. So if we do the math and it's like, wait a minute, he's got cufflinks from a red team and a blue team and a red team and a blue team and a red team. You know, it's like, wait a minute. you know, he's friends with both sides. So I'll just leave that there and let people think about that for a minute. The other thing is I heard it on an audio, what motivated him in life or in the business or just how competitive he was. He dated a girl in middle school or junior high school, and they dated for a little bit, and then she gave the ring back that he had given to her, and he was kind of devastated, but he thought about it for a moment. He's like, I'm going to find a way to win. And so he made up his mind that he was going to dance with the three girls that she most admired to kind of get back at her. So, and he did. And, you know, and then he kind of moved on in life, and eventually he meets Birdie, and they had pretty quickly 7 children and, you know, beautiful family. You know, he went from a traditional business and being a salesperson to building the Amway business and really having some success early on I think it was the late 60s, and became one of the fastest growing IBOs in the world. And, you know, he eventually built a massive organization with his tool system was internet. Not to be confused with the World Wide Web or the internet, but that was his, you know, so he basically created that. And, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of personal development books or audios or conferences or things like that back then. So there was this space. But he tells a story about this girl that got away, and then, you know, it's like he's got everything that life has to offer. And then that moment where he has that tender moment with my girlfriend, I thought about it. I'm like, oh my gosh, he wishes he could go back and have one more chance, because everything in his life he's bought, but he can't buy forgiveness. He can't buy the love of his life back. So I say that to be very, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful to anybody in that family, but I say that because when you look somebody in the eye and you really think about them and you really think about yourself and you really, you know, check the gut and you check your heart. Now, I stayed involved in that organization for a while without having a whole lot of success, but I kept trying. And so, I kept learning. I learned a lot about life, but I had that realization that he wanted something I had, and he couldn't undo it. And so he couldn't get a second chance at what is absolutely priceless in life. So anybody that's looking at any prospective business out there or any, you know, any opportunity or whatever that we're doing, let's take a moment and think about, you know, there's a cost to everything, and you know, shouldn't we not consider the cost before building a tower, because it would be disgraceful if we weren't able to finish a work that we started. You know, and I'll continue on, because obviously I gave it 3 tries at the multi-level marketing business in Amway. And so then again, my upline realized that they had kind of stalled out. With the Jaeger group, there was a gentleman that they got behind that was actually in the Achieve magazine for #1 in sponsoring in North America, and he put in like 500 people into his organization within a month or a quarter. It was something unheard of. And so this guy was a professional in the sales industry, and so smooth talking, fast talking, looked smart, sounded smart, confident, you know, and he could convince just about anybody. However, you know, he was saying, well, when does this thing take a life of its own? Is he, you know, I mean, me being his downline, you know, you kind of don't say that. So obviously he's not at the point of making money off of tools. And he's, you know, grinding and hustling and putting a lot of money in. He's making some money on top of his day job, but the amount of hustle that he's putting in, it's like, okay, well, he's obviously, you know, when you say work smart, work hard, you know, be persistent, have a positive attitude, this guy was all that and more. And I've never seen anybody hustle harder in my life. And if there was a person that should have went from platinum to diamond, you know, within the next year or two, that's the guy. So my upline sees that, okay, well, this is fizzling out. The momentum stalled over there. Now they're spinning their wheels. So then he's looking at the next. So I take another 2-year break. You know, he's switched and joined with LTD, which is Larry and Pam Winters. And so then after my time is up, I can join. I join that organization. So now with the timeline, now we're up closer to in the 2000s and you know, mid 2000s, and so I actually joined the military in 2006 as a reservist, and so I kept in touch with my upline and would continue to go to meetings occasionally or conferences occasionally. And the reason why I bring up the military service is I was taking the Nutrilite multi-mineral multivitamins, and when it came to our annual physical fitness test, so I noticed that, you know, I was in the best shape of my life, being time I was about 27 years old, and when I added the vitamins to what I was doing for workouts, well, the next physical fitness test, basically you either run bike or swim, the first cardio part, and then there's push-ups and sit-ups. And so when it came to the bike part, I chose the bike because I've been using the bike to get around to be cost effective for a while, and I noticed I was able to push myself at least 30% harder, and it's a 12-minute test, and basically you're burning as many calories as you could. And I just felt that my brain wouldn't, my body wasn't starving for the nutrition, so it didn't send a signal to my brain, and my brain was ready to keep pedaling, and I was able to push my mind and my body and my effort further and farther and faster and stronger. So I did, you know, I could see that there was some value to it, and you know, it's like every once in a while these businesses will hit a home run with a product or a few products. You know, the question is, are they able to actually be sold in a commonality? You know, not everybody can afford a $1,500 water filtration system. You know, but somebody might be able to buy a $5, $10, or $15, or $20 product, and then the question is, well, do you have the one time sale or do you have repeat sales? At one point my day job was selling cruise vacations. I worked for a company that would send out, they had lists of people that were had been on multiple cruises, and they would send out an 85-page color brochure, and people would call in and say, hey, I'm looking at page number 72. I want cruise number 3. I want a balcony stateroom, you know, and is April 12th available? So, you know, it was very easy for me because I love logistics. I love the geography. I loved everything about the cruise business to adapt to that and excel in that. And so, you know, I learned a lot from doing that as far as like gaining confidence in sales. And so, you know, there was some training that came from that business. They gave us 30 days of training and product knowledge. And so, you know, that was great. But how many people buy a cruise every month? You know, it's like usually they would buy a cruise every 6 months or every year or every 3 years or maybe never again. But it had a lot of repeat. So if you do something well in that business, you get referrals and then you get repeat customers. So if looking at a business opportunity, you know, ask people, you know, how frequently are you getting referrals? How frequently are you getting repeat business? And you know, they may tell you a story, but you know, keep in mind that if we're going to apply ourselves in a business, you know, is it going to have longevity? And what's, you know, the hardest thing is getting started in anything. So whether it's 3 months or 6 months or 9 months to get going, you know, I was a cruise travel agent and, you know, I had a lot of help because of how that business was set up working, you know, in a call center. And it got a lot easier after 6 months because I had so many referrals and I had so many repeat customers. When you don't have to go digging, you know, you've already planted something and it comes and reaps a harvest because you've done something well. So hopefully if people are looking at an opportunity, they realize that the good ones are going to be legitimate in the sense that you have positive experiences. Customers are naturally going to say that this adds value, this has benefit for me, and that I would refer them to my friends, and I would, you know, be a repeat customer. If we were to get into any business that doesn't have that, that should be definitely a sign of caution.
You can say from your experience, that does not describe your Amway experience as far as
right.
Your Amway business.
Oh, I got a funny story. So I had one of my friends, I gave him a sample of the multi-mineral, multivitamin that I loved. And he took me, because you're supposed to take them with food, and he took them, and he had a piece of cold pizza, and literally like 5 minutes later, he's like puking it out. And so like I had example after example of, you know, life telling me not no to this business as if it was more like hell no. So, as far as the products, you know, and one other crazy story is the best sale I ever had in the Amway business, I think it was probably a $250 order. And, you know, the challenge was the little old lady that I showed her the brochure, the color magazine, I had described them like, okay, so this fine print here, this is the wholesale price, this is the business volume, and this is the retail price. And so, you know, so she did her price list off of the wholesale. And, you know, so I, you know, on this $250 order, I'm making $2. So, you know, like when it's calculated, you know, I think I ended up making about $6 off that order altogether. But, you know, it's like I finally get a real sale, and, you know, like, so can't just say, hey, oh, by the way, you miscalculated your product. And, you know, so I was a nice guy about it. So, I put the order through. She gets her products, you know, didn't say any complaint, but then also never reordered with me. And, you know, but I can remember when those products came in, I just felt so good. I'm like, this actually worked. I'm delivering a full order of products to a customer that legitimately I didn't talk them into them, you know, like that. This is a legitimate sale. And so, but again, when I was saying the red flags of if it's not repeat and it's not generating referrals, it's very much a concern. And so another life story where it was the business was trying to tell me no, and I kept going anyways. You mentioned earlier in the introduction of, you know, Scott, you were mentioning Joe Markowitz. And so, I've had an opportunity to meet Joe more than once, and you know, I don't like to say anything disparaging about a person, but like out of all the you know the big names that in the Amway business, you know, not the most polished speaker, not you know, like not the most confident, and you know, so one of my friends has done a lot more research than I have. So let's say at a certain point, my friends were trying to get me to wake up to what was happening around the world. you know, through the upline, one of them made a comment that President Obama and Michelle, that, you know, they weren't as they appeared, that they were two guys. And I was like, oh, no way. And so it took, you know, and I only bring this up because there's a trap of deception that we can fall into. And so, well, how did I fall into that deception? There's so much fiction in our world that we don't even realize it, that I was comparing deception versus deception and trying to make sense of it as a young person in my teens and in my 20s. And I didn't realize how dishonest I was. So I'm going to be the first one to say, I was incredibly dishonest. I was very transparent. So, like, I would make presentations and people would see right through me, and for whatever reason would not want to, because sometimes you get those people that you just want to do business with. They're likable, or they have a product that's decent enough. But if it's a good product and then you really like the person, sometimes you'll buy something that you don't even really need, or that you, it puts you over the fence just because somebody is that genuinely nice. But in any case, you know, years go by and I had realized that I needed to get honest with myself and get honest with other people. So, you know, well, how, you know, so I'm in this trap. How did I start getting out of the trap? And so back in 2006, I come back from basic training, and then I'm going on my advanced training in the military. And, you know, I talked earlier about my grades in school. So the military gave me a second chance, and now I was a fresh start, and this was an education that was relevant to what I was doing in my job capacity. Plus, I had a $20,000 signing bonus riding on getting good grades and graduating. So I was a 4.9 out of 5.0, and I was at the top of my class in basic training. And then at the advanced school as a heavy equipment operator, I was I had 94.7 grade average, and the two that beat me in that class were professional equipment operators, so they actually had previous experience. So, so you know, I've learned to apply myself and be more successful. But then the reason why I bring that up is I get home for Christmas on a Christmas break. And I'm given a Bible that was a devotional that showed me how much to read in a year's time to make it all the way through. And it's interesting, all these books and tapes and everything that they're throwing at everybody, and it's like, if we go back to the very first days, people had to figure it out for themselves. Either the product is marketable or it's not. And you get rejection a few times, and you figure it out. So there's the part of doing, and obviously if there are some training materials that helps a person be successful, then great. But, you know, at the same time, the Book of Wisdom, you know, there's billions printed, and you can get one almost anywhere for either free or just a few bucks. So I'll leave that there. But what that did was it started planting seeds of truth in me. And one thing I learned more recently was deception's at a certain energy, vibration, and frequency. And so truth is at a higher frequency. And so how is it that somebody can tell, a parent can usually tell when their children are lying to them about something, or in a spouse relationship, you know, to the other frequency, and it's like, wait a minute, hold on a second. You know, it's like, or if you have a close friendship or business partnership, if somebody switches from being honest to being deceptive, it's almost like you can sense it or feel it. So I want people to hone in on that discernment using your gut, you know, sensing that change in energy or frequency and vibration. And so, you know, those seeds start coming up in 2015. I start getting honest with myself and other people. And then, you know, so if we look at LTD, they actually did a reset where, you know, things that weren't working in other organizations, they kind of reinvented their brand that no IBO was going to be more important than the team. So the team of diamonds. And so, you know, the crazy thing is we're in a health business or a fitness, a business that has a whole lot of fitness products. And then it's like, well, wait a minute. If the person at the top is out of shape and not necessarily that much of an eloquent speaker, like what's, you know, and they've been doing it for 20, 30 years. And it's like, wait a minute. Are they an example of anybody can make it? Or is it an example of that there's something going on that we don't see? So, you know, like going
certainly,
back to...
Certainly it could be a little bit of both, right?
Yeah.
Because like you say, those unpolished speakers, they're much more relatable than the real smooth talkers, and they do give the impression that anybody can do it. You know, that's certainly, you know, I think a piece of what's going on. And some of them actually intentionally, I think, you know, look a little bit awkward just so that they can look relatable and duplicatable, right? That's the key word in Amway and other MLMs is to be duplicatable. Because if, like you said before, Andrew, if you're a real smooth talker, then people look at you and go, I can... don't have that talent, and you sort of damage their own confidence in themselves by being too good. And so I do think there's some of that, that whether it's intentional or unintentional, not being perfect is actually to your advantage. I saw that many times in my, you know, 12 plus years of Amway experience. So I just wanted to kind of make that point and agree with you and let you continue. Go right ahead.
Yeah. You know, as we get, you know, we're getting to a point that we're in the 2015 to 17. And then, you know, my business, actually, I allow it to expire out. And that was my last experience with the business is, you know, that it, as I continued to either try to share the opportunity, I got a no every time. And it's like, well, you know, people are like, well, just do something more. And it's like, well, you know, there's running through a wall and then there's going through a door. And, you know, if we're not a knucklehead, we should be able to figure out the difference between running through a wall and going through a door that, you know, and some doors are open and some doors are closed. But in any case, I can't tell anybody that I was the hardest charger. You know, I'm not the one that was out there, you know, pounding the pavement more than anybody else. Like my upline, they all led by example and they were pounding the pavement and they were making the calls and they were doing the things and they were struggling as well. And so, you know, they gave it three tries as well. You know, they had more time and money invested into it. And, you know, they gave it three legitimate efforts and didn't make it past, you know, and then one of the other uplines, he made it to platinum, but then it wouldn't go past, you know, let's say a group of 300 or 500, you know, it just kind of stalled out. Well, he had a couple of conversations with somebody that kind of revealed the dark side. And then, you know, once he got a sniff of that, he started doing some serious research. Well, you know, again, my upline was trying to wake me up to certain things over the time. And one of my upline was saying, oh, George Soros is paying protesters. I'm like, oh, great. I have no interest in that. You know, it's like, you know, I had another person, you know, in my day job, later on, he was trying to wake me up to say that there's, you know, these Satanist groups and there's people doing evil things to children. I'm like, oh, that's gross. I don't want to hear about that. And it's like, yes, there's a world that as human beings, we don't want to hear about. Like those of us that go and serve in the military, we sign our name and we, you know, we put ourselves in harm's way and there are certain things that we see that you can't unsee. You just can't. you know, you can't go back in time and just unsee something. So most people don't understand. There's the mind of a innocent person. There's the mind of an adult, and the adult's done something wrong in their life, whether they know it or not. You know, it's like we understand if we're a little bit dishonest or a lot dishonest, but, you know, and it's like, but then there's the criminal. The criminal makes their livelihood over, you know, what can I take? What can I get? You know, who can I inflict harm on? But one step further, there's the people out there that are just evil. They have no conscience. They don't care who they hurt or how many people they have to hurt. It's only about their longevity. And so most people don't realize that, like, people in the military don't necessarily even understand this, but I came to understand that there's a different way of thinking out there. And so, you know, like 2010, our battalion deployed to Afghanistan. We come back in 2011. And I had a very positive experience in the military. You know, I was saying my prayers, my mom was saying my prayers, and I go and I serve overseas and got to drive the most powerful truck, you know, the Oshkosh MTVR. It's 400 horsepower, 1,500 foot-pounds of torque. And so it's every, you know, guys that trick out their trucks, you know, this truck was a 30,000-pound truck, 12,000-pound winch, could carry 30,000 pounds and tow another 30,000 pounds, and it didn't need a road. You could take it up a mountain and just make your own trail. So that was epic. I mean, the training and leadership that I got through that was very valuable. And now, you know, so I continually, as I get opportunities in life, I took advantage of them the best I could. And in that framework, I succeed and did well. So then come back home, and I just wanted to live a quiet life. And I'd moved to South Florida in 2017, you know, got a real simple day job, did that for about a year and a half. And then I started driving for Uber, and actually Lyft before that. I had been driving before for Lyft. And, you know, if anybody's listening about that, you know, in those opportunities, not everybody makes money, because you have to figure, well, what's the cost of doing business? If you don't understand what's the doing business, and it's like, it's, you know, I had a brand new Kia, you know, and I strategized on this. I bought a Kia Niro hybrid so that way I could get better gas mileage than just about anybody on the road. And then, you know, brand new, so I know that it doesn't have any maintenance issues. And, of course, the car is going to depreciate, but, you know, in any case, I just factored all that in and, you know, figured out all my maintenance, because I'm going to be driving more than 3,000 miles. And, you know, it was about every month that I was going for an oil change. You know, I was very strategic about it. And at first I didn't make money, because I didn't know the different ways to make money. There's six different ways that back at that time in South Florida that you could make money. And so I learned how to line them all up. So that way, you know, it's like, okay, there's time, there's distance, there's gratuities. There was the free ride string occasionally that they'd have. There's the surge bonus. And then there was a weekend bonus. So if you signed up early enough, you could try to estimate how many rides you would do and then get a bonus basically by hitting that stretch goal. So, and now I'm talking to drivers now, and they're not able to make nearly the same money. Well, there was the perfect storm. And what was the perfect storm in 2020 was the lockdowns hit, and that was terrible. And then coming out of it, Florida was one of the first large population. It was the biggest city in the world that you could actually go party in. So it was like bonus level in Mario Land. There was just gold coins everywhere. So, you know, I only had to work 2 or 3 days a week to be able to make $25 to $50 an hour. And so some people that have SUVs, they were making even more at the time. But, you know, also be careful that economies can shift and change. And just because a company is doing well in a good economy, well, is that company going to do poorly in a bad economy? Crazy enough, when the economy is bad, people buy trivial things. There's certain things that they'll make up to maybe feel better about themselves, or certain foods that kind of give a comfort. And so some of these markets out there are shifting markets, and some of them are seasonal. So obviously that was a shifting market that was seasonal, and it was the perfect storm. And so in any case, through that, I got invited to go to some patriotic dinners that had, different politicians, different speakers. And I always tried to surround myself and go into a place where I could learn from others. And so I'm at a dinner in Fort Lauderdale. A guy's given 5 minutes. So Zach Voorhees was given 5 minutes to speak, and he's the Google whistleblower. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. I served 8 years in the military, and I, raised my hand to support the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I'm like, this guy, he worked at Google for 8.5 years and quit his job because he found the blacklist file. Well, what's the blacklist file? It's everything that Google is hiding, that if they put it in those terms or keywords, then you can't find that on any platform. And so, well, what are they hiding? The truth about the Las Vegas shooting. The truth about cures for cancer, the truth about their interference in government and politics. And so I was just like, wow. So I worked with Zach for 3.5 weeks, and him and two other investigative journalists, and we were going 24/7 right before the 2020 election. And so Google, one of the executives had said that they were going to fix the Trump situation. They were literally going to use all the assets of the biggest company on earth to fix the Trump situation. And so either there was going to be a red wave or a massive fraud. And so we got the massive fraud. And so in any case, I promised that I would help us to understand how to get out of it. So we get into a deception because there may be something out there that sounds good, but I ask this question. If anybody can do it, is it what's meant for you? Like because there's somebody, that's riding a horse or a donkey and they have a stick out and they're holding a carrot, it's like, well, great, that's a certain setup, but is that donkey ever going to get the carrot, or is the horse ever going to get the carrot? And so, or, for example, in, let's say, greyhound racing, I've never participated in that, but I've seen the video of what happens when a greyhound catches the fake rabbit. Once they do, they'll never run the same. And the reason why is because they realize it's not genuine. So, if we find out what is genuine, then it's a whole lot easier to figure out a counterfeit. And even when I got to do a college tour to the, it was the Federal Bank of Chicago Detroit branch, and they said that the way that they tell a counterfeit is not by studying all the counterfeits, but by studying the genuine article. So, study truth, get to know truth, understand the frequency of truth, and so, ask questions. And so, our education system was set up by the Rockefellers, and so there was a workforce that was needed that wouldn't ask questions, that was smart enough to do a job but not so smart to figure it out, that basically we would work 40 years of our life, we would expend all of our strength and all of our energy, and then we would help catapult a corporation to success, and then if the company failed, and even, let's say the pensions disappeared, God forbid, like, for example, in the military, I had one thought, what happens if our country no longer ceases to exist? My grandfather grew up in a country over in Europe that when he was born, it was Serbia. And then when he was leaving it, it became Yugoslavia. And then there were more wars, and the place where he grew up became Croatia. And so what happens to the person's pension if the company's gone, or if the company folds, or if the country is gone. And we take a lot of things for granted, but not, you know, tomorrow's not guaranteed, whether it's our life or our ability to make an income. You know, everything can change. So we need to be able to adapt and overcome. And that's one of the skills I was given in the military. So, so I say all that to understand how to come out of a deception. So asking questions is one of the most very important things. And then also, if we look at the movie Wizard of Oz, somebody made that movie back in 1939. And so these four characters go on a wild journey. So, you know, what's the significance of Dorothy's red shoes? You know, I'll let people figure that out. You know, we've got the cowardly lion who's a bully, but then when it's time for him to do something brave, he's a coward. You know, it's like we've got the Tin Man. Well, is that our tax income number? You know, what are they really trying to say there? And then we got the Scarecrow. Is that the straw man? Is that a fake? So there's, and then they go on this journey. They get to Emerald City. They've walked down the Golden Street, and they get before the Wizard of Oz. And he's using the big screen, the loud noises, the fire, and pulling, you know, he's trying to cause fear and terror. And so the little dog pulls back the curtain, and they see that it's just a normal person. Oh, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Well, yeah, so if we have all these mainstream medias, and even further, we have the big tech companies that have all worked together to cause panic and terror, and we're trapped in fear. Well, what happens when we come to know the truth? Well, once we come to know the truth, we're no longer afraid of other people. So we may have a fear of God or respect of God, but we can get over the fear of, well, what can another person do to me? And so once our whole country has that behind, because my Wizard of Oz moment, seeing behind the curtain, was October of 2020, once I knew that there was the blacklist file. So once we see backstage, or once we see behind the curtain, everything changes. We're no longer amazed, or, you know, and then, so, well, how many constructs of our society just will fall flat, and people will be like, okay, I'm no longer entertained. Not only am I not entertained, I'm a little bit angry. So in any case, you know, be careful with the emotions. You know, don't do anything rash, and especially in a case of anger. You know, it's like if you come to find out that somebody's been deceptive towards you, or if, you come to find out that a company's folded, you know, let's say people have gotten involved in some business and they see the reality of it, or they see it fold. The great thing about life is we can start over, and I've had to start over 5 times in my life, and you know, like it's built my character. I've learned a lot about life. You know, being honest, standing on the truth, and then, you know, so then more recently, you know, people are like, well, how do we wake people up? So now there's this movement of people like, well, how do we save people from themselves in these businesses? Well, first of all, make friends. You know, it's like if you don't genuinely care about the well-being of somebody else, you know, it's like, you know, think about that for a minute. You know, and then it's like find out what the other person is interested in. Get a question that's relevant to them. You know, it's like people don't want to be told, and they have a defensive layer that's many layers thick. And so, like, we start telling people something, you know, it's just going to bounce off their armor. So if you ask a question and get them thinking, then they're processing. And then, you know, like, seeds can be planted. Not everybody's going to wake up in a day. And so, for example, what's really going on in the world, it took me decades to finally have that moment. It's like, wait a minute. You know, 9/11, I was out of work as a travel agent 10 days later, the global financial crisis that made it hard to earn a living in Detroit, and then the lockdowns, I'm like, wait a minute, I served in the military, I wore the gas mask, I've been in the gas chamber, I know which mask will save my life, and everywhere in the world, they're not talking about that one, they're talking about these other ones. And then the military wasn't going up to the MOP for, you know, they weren't going to the highest standard of protection. So so there's been a deception at many levels, from our education to what the media shows us, to what people might present in a business opportunity, to, you know, even, even in relationships, you know. And so start with getting honest with ourselves is what I had to do as a first step. And then, you know, like if we're trying to wake up other people, you know, being a friend, being patient, asking relevant questions, you know, well, have you heard about this or do you understand that, you know, and play the long game. The only way that we can be successful in life, you know, the most successful people, and one of my favorites is actually Stephen Covey, begin with the end in mind. And so when I flip my life, instead of living for today, and I figure, okay, well, what do I want said of me at my funeral? You know, do I want to be considered a faithful man of God, a Christ follower? Do I want to be a, you know, a faithful husband to one wife? Do I want to have children that are raised to be godly children? Do I want to be considered a loyal friend? You know, like I've had friends call me up at 3 a.m. or 5 a.m. and it's like, and I tell people, hey, call me. You know, if there's something going on, call me any hour of the day. And if I can answer my phone, you know, one of my friends got badly injured and hurt himself. He's like, did you see what happened on social media? I'm like, no. He got in an accident and it was going to take him 6 months to recover. I'm like, I'm going to be on the next bus. I'm going to be there as quickly as I can or stay with him and his family until he got to full health. And so that's a true friend, is one that's willing to lay down their life for somebody. And then two is willing to dig in and roll up their sleeves and say, hey, I'll do dishes. I'll do laundry. I'll clean up here. I'll clean up there. You know, I'll help you out, you know, until you get back to full speed. So, you know, when we realize what the genuine article is, I think that is what's going to help us as a nation. But we've got a long ways to go. We got decades of television. We've got you know, the social media, but there's one person that challenged me one time. You know, they said, well, in Washington D.C., everything seems to be operating as normal. And I was like, well, let me ask you this. Does the sun shine on a cloudy day? I asked her a question. You know, and it's like, during the fog of war, things may appear a certain way. But when the sun comes out on a bright day, you can see completely differently with a whole different, you know, ability to understand what the battlefield looks like. I'm suggesting right now the situation that we're currently in is a fog of war situation. And it could clear up in a day, but, you know, like, I'll put it this way. I've had about 5,000 conversations. I was able to track using the Uber app. I had 2,400 conversations. I found about 30 people that were actually awake in a year and a half of the lockdowns and the masks and everything. And most people don't know about the masks, that they were actually using the facial recognition to see if somebody was obeying the global command. And so, like, I got kicked off of Lyft because somebody complained that I wasn't wearing a mask and I wanted to argue about it. And so there's a social credit score, even in the United States, that if you do not comply, that you can be terminated. And one of my friends in the Amway business was exposing Amway funding things that were on a global initiative that were destructive to human beings and destructive to America. And they were trying to expose it and they got terminated. And so we're in for the battle of our life. You know, stay humble, stay prayerful. And, you know, the truth's going to win out. But, you know, when it comes to business opportunities, you know, and especially the tools, you know, it's like, well, you know, some things we can pray for wisdom and the Almighty will give it to us in abundance. We can read the word and it doesn't cost us a whole lot. And then life experience has served me very well. You know, have I had to learn things the hard way? Absolutely. I've had some incredibly humbling experiences, but those lessons, as long as I learn from them and don't have to repeat them, they're going to serve me the best. So, you know, obviously I appreciate both of you gentlemen sharing, you know, trying to be a lookout for people to be like, hey, the bridge is out. You know, you can try to go down that road, but that bridge is out and you're going to have to pull a U-turn. You're going to have to take another road. So, you know, hopefully we're seeking the best answers and we're seeking the best life.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you mention that, Andrew, because I'm sitting here. My older brother is visiting from Florida because he wanted to come see the eclipse here in Texas. And, you know, we were talking over dinner a little bit because when I was sued by Amway back in 2010 and we had a settlement, one of the pieces of the settlement was that I was not allowed to talk to anybody who was a current Amway IBO about Amway. I could talk to him about anything else, but I couldn't talk to him about Amway. And so I found out over dinner last night, literally last night, that he had been moved from a IBO status to a preferred customer status. And so now the gloves are off as far as me being able to talk to him, which I hadn't been able to since 2010 about Amway, and he was not aware that the lack of retail sales is a really big deal, and also that the higher ups in Amway, the higher up IBOs, made multiple times more from the tools. And we talked about the tools briefly, but just for people that aren't familiar with what that means, it's the books and the recordings and the meetings and the voice mail, the phone, the website access. It's all these different things that the upline charges for information, basically. And I don't have a big problem with the content. I don't agree with everything in there, but I don't agree with anybody on everything, right? We're all different as far as our perspectives. I just have a problem with the fact that they don't disclose that's where they make most of their money. And I think I mentioned this earlier. I meant to mention my Facebook page, and I'll do that real quick before the end of the show here. If you go to facebook.com/ScottTexJohnson, so it's ScottTexJohnson, all one word. Yeah, that's where the three websites and my YouTube channel and that Rumble video I mentioned with Joe Markowitz and my phone number and my email are located, all those resources, so that you can see, you know, when I make statements like they make most of their money from the tools, you can actually find specific documentation about several people that did get kicked out of Amway stating those facts, the people that were actually making the money. So it's not like secondhand information. It's the people that were making the money, they got kicked out, and now they're kind of spilling the beans. So
yeah,
that's the value of those websites, is I'm not counting on anybody to believe me. I'm just saying I found this information. Go look for yourself, like you say. You know, find the truth. And that's what I do with my websites, is I put the truth out there based on, you know, the firsthand resource of that information. So, this has been just a great time. I know we're near the end. Peter, I wanted to include you a little bit to see if you had any questions or comments for Andrew.
You know, no, he was very thorough, and I was riveted listening to the whole entire story. So I don't think we've ever not spoken at all on our own radio show, Scott. He was really good. So I guess the one curiosity thing I was thinking is, you said you sat out a couple of times for that 2-year span. What did you do during those 2 years? Did you just kind of like literally just look at the calendar and then say, okay, it's time to get up and, you know, go back in? Or were you still somewhat participating? Or what was the 2-year lapse like?
Right. So you get emotionally attached to these relationships, and it's like, well, you know, you don't want to let these good friends go. And so, at first it's like, okay, well, I'm going to make it anyways. And then there's this big gap between where I was and my platinum. I was just like, oh, this ain't going to work. And then, weighed out. And so like those 2 years, I never made an income that was able to surpass my, you know, in the cash flow game, you're going to want to try to develop a passive income that's greater than your active income or your day job. And so I never got there in that capacity. So you know, waiting, you know, like it was explained to me, it's like, hey, if you want to come over to this organization, if you're willing to sit out, you know, we're going to sit out 6 months to move over to the next LOA. And so it's like, all right. And then, you know, they were able to go from zero back to, let's say, 12%, and they were having more success more quickly. And it's like, okay, then jump back in. So, like, yeah, not participating, you know, not going to meetings, not showing, you know, so literally actually writing a letter of resignation to resign the business and then sitting out and waiting. So not being active in contacting or selling product or attending an event or, you know, anything like that. And then once the time's expired, it's like, okay, now, okay, I'm going to sign up. I'm going to, you know, buy my products and, you know, now I'm attending events again. And so, you know, and then again, having, you know, diminishing return on investment and then, okay, well, you know, now we're going to do it again. We're going to, you know, and it's like, well, so I believed in the opportunity enough that, you know, it's like, okay, well, I'll give it another shot. And so, you know, I had a lot of different things going on as far as, you know, I worked as a travel agent, I worked in the auto industry, I served in the military. And so I had different skills I could fall back on. And if there was any kind of disruption or shift in my life, you know, I could pivot and I interview well, I make a resume well, and you know, having a positive attitude. If I learned one thing, is having a positive attitude and an attitude of gratitude. And you know, I get back from Afghanistan and I'm like, oh, thank God for paved roads, because, you know, there's only a few paved roads in Afghanistan. You know, and it's like, oh, thank God for long showers. Well, we went 14 days without a shower. Actually, some of the people on our team went almost 30 days without a shower. And so, you know, I can remember it took me like three goes that, you know, I literally, the first time I took a shower, I took three showers to try to get the dirt out of my pores. So, you know, it's just having an attitude of gratitude really was the most important thing that I learned from the whole, all the business experience. So we sat out and then we went at it again. And you know, the one thing is a fact, there are people making off of tools and at a, somebody brand new to the business, if they wanted to be honest and forward about it, it'd be like, okay, well, we got profit sharing for the tools. For every audio that you sell, you get this many pennies, and for every book that you sell, you get this percentage. You know, it's like if they included everybody on the cut, then they could be above board and straightforward on it. So, you know, if you know, somebody's trying to sell anything to you and it's like, okay, well, what's the cut on that? You know, what's the profit on that? What's the margin on that? What, you know, what's the profit sharing on that? And so that way you can blow it up by asking the question. And, you know, it's like, well, that doesn't sound fair to me. You know, I thought this was supposed to be an equal opportunity. And so, you know, you can be polite about it just by asking some questions and making a simple comment. And, you know, it's like, and maybe by asking that question, then somebody that is heavily involved in one of these things is like, wait a minute, they're right. I might need to reconsider my position, because there's pendulum shifts. We have paradigm shifts. That's one thing I learned from the course of doing business. And then, you know, it's like, you know, there was 8-tracks, there were cassettes, there were CDs, you know, then there were MP3s. And now they're streaming. Like, we've done a whole shift in audios. Well, let's say we're in this society that is incredibly deceptive, and we have a shift for truth, which in the last week, oh my gosh, some of the conversations I've had of people seeking truth and asking for truth and wanting to know what's really going on, like, the shift is happening. And so if we go to a society that's based off of truth, now all of a sudden it flips and people won't tolerate deception. And if people are doing anything dishonest, and it's like in any avenue of life. And so, you know, there was a day that Pharaoh was in charge of the people group and then Moses led them out. You know, that was 430 years or 400 years in the making, but it all changed on one day. So choose today. You know, if a person's not honest in their heart with themselves, choose this day to get honest. And then, you know, like, it may be painful for the next week or two. You know, like, it, there may be some things that we have to reevaluate, but, you know, it's better to do it now. You know, I've had conversations with people decades older than me, and they haven't learned that lesson. It's like, if we learn nothing else, learn that lesson is to be honest with ourselves and be honest with other people.
Great answer. Okay, Scott, guess what? We ran out of time. So I'll let you close this up however you want to close this up. And Andrew, thanks for an unbelievable call.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Yeah, it went fast. It went by like nothing. And Andrew, if you want to come back for another show sometime and talk a little bit more about what you're involved in now, as far as,
yeah,
you know, waking people up and so forth, you're welcome to do that, because I know that you're quite active doing a number of things, and we didn't really get to that too much in this show.
That's all right.
But we've laid a good foundation for it. If you want to come back sometime, let's do that, so that we can help people understand how to be woken up. Because there's a lot of people out there that don't even know that they're asleep, I think.
Yeah, the next question people are going to have is, now what do I do? So if people are trying to get a hold of me on Facebook, Andrew Charles Evanch, E-V-A-N-C-H, my website is on Linktree, so linktr.ee and then /ACEVANCH. So that's Linktree, linktr.ee /ACEVANCH. If you search on the internet for Andrew Charles Evanch, you should be able to find me, but I'm pretty heavily censored. I obviously said one word wrong, and the algorithms don't like me, but I'd like to say hi to AI. I know you're going to become benevolent at some point, and so wish you much success. We'll work together in the future.
Sounds good. Yeah, and like Peter talked about when we were just talking amongst ourselves before the show, we can give you a guest page, or he can set it up. It's his website. And he can put that information on the guest page, and then people can just, look for your name on the Building Fortunes website and find that link tree you just mentioned and any other information you want to put out there on your guest page to be just another, you know, resource of information on how to contact you. So, go ahead.
That website link has all my social media, and then people can get in touch with me that way. The crazy thing is when we ask a question, the answer will come to you. And then if you desire to meet somebody, it's amazing how at some point in life you'll cross paths with them. And so, I look forward to meeting you two gentlemen in person one day. And, I wish you guys all the best. I appreciate what you're doing.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks for coming on the show. And I guess we'll meet again next week, Peter.
Yep, that's it. So, Scott, why don't you give out your website, and then we'll call it a call.
Yep. Like I mentioned a few minutes ago, it's facebook.com/ScottTexJohnson, SCOTTTEXJOHNSON, all one word. And like I said, there's links to three websites, my YouTube channel, that Rumble video I mentioned with Joe Markowitz, my email, my phone number, it's all there. So enjoy, absorbing the information. I take a lot of pride in when I make a claim, I have documentation to prove it, so that it's not just somebody talking, but it's actually, I have the evidence to back up what I say. So I'm very much oriented in that manner versus just making statements that I cannot support, with proof. So anyway, Andrew enjoyed it. Peter, great as usual, and we'll see everybody next Saturday.
Yep, and everybody enjoyed the total solar eclipse if you're within that path. So Scott, you'll be able to tell us what it was like. We'll catch everybody next week on Building Fortunes Radio. Andrew, thank you very much. So long, everyone.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.